Lord be with you.
And also with you.
My name is Anders Peterson. I am the village pastor, interim pastor. And tonight is, this is a good thing I'm forgetting that. Tonight we will be using the ELW. So if you haven't received one of these yet, they're located in either corner. And we are privileged to have Mark Miller McLemore providing our homily this evening. I'd also like to acknowledge Elizabeth Rossing for prayers this evening, our psalmists Muriel and Julie, and Bonnie for reading, and of course Dave for his and Cindy for the music. We are going to begin tonight in a sung psalm. But before we begin that, I invite you to join me in a word of prayer at the center of our hearts. Gracious God, how tenderly and patiently your wondrous gift is given. As we gather this night, help us to pray and yearn expectantly to receive the gifts we need so that we may become the gifts others need. Amen.
Amen.
We invite you to stay seated for your for the psalm. But the song response will be your steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is
Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I feel blessed to share the good news with you this evening. Thank you for your hospitality to this pastor from the Disciples of Christ. We disciples are a little different from Lutherans in a number of ways. For example, we don't do all those lovely responses during the service. For example, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I've always wanted to do that. The words on the front of your communion table, the blood of Christ shed for you. Ours would say, this do in remembrance of me. So many nuances are captured in that small difference, but so much more in common. I want to speak a word tonight for rivers and gardeners and bakers of bread and wall tappers, for those who endure. But first, let me ask, please join me in a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Verses 3 through 5 of the fifth chapter of this letter to the Church at Rome say, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. This is not, in many ways, a nice passage of scripture to contemplate. Does the Christian life demand that we suffer? We have felt the marks of suffering this week. All too often, pain and joy walk hand in hand. And then there's endurance. Must we endure to build Christian character and find hope in the divine love? Is this what Paul suggests? Endurance. Rivers have endurance in spades. See the way that Railroad Creek cuts through the stone of this valley, wearing away the mountains? Rivers cut through the hardest stone. If we care about God's peaceable kingdom, about the world as it is, moving toward the world as it should be, should we not consider the river? Should we not think about how it endures? So I want to speak to you tonight about rivers, gardeners, bakers of bread, tappers of walls, endurance. Endurance, however, presents us with a number of problems. First, it's just hard. My college had as its motto, Scientiae et Virtute, which the dean once translated as know-how and guts. It takes guts to persevere. It isn't easy. It isn't glamorous. When neighborhoods change and the schools malfunction, how long should we and our children hang in there? When a church turns toxic, how long should we endure? When is a till death do us part marriage over? Endurance is hard. Second, endurance is hard to know. Experience is chaotic and crazy. What wisdom can we gain from experience on the thin line between enough and too much? When does commitment become folly, obstinacy? If we endure, can we know that endurance will carry us through to some good and godly end? Or does it merely lead to a dead end? Will we reach the end and discover that we have followed the wrong path? It is impossible to know. Third, endurance is not a heroic virtue like courage. A long obedience in the same direction is the way one pastor has put it. That doesn't seem too high on the list of virtues. All it entails, seemingly, is time. Time. Time that wears away the stove. Endurance may not be heroic, but this minor virtue, I would say, has had a major impact. I teach a class at Vanderbilt Divinity School on prophetic ministry in mainline congregations. One of my delightful colleagues there asks me, "Is that possible?" I hope it is, although I realize it is all too rare. But here and there in the world, now and then in our lives, there is a new creation. It seems to me that endurance is key. Sometimes it may be all we have. How many small things have been done that wear away the stone of sin and the dealing of death? How many times do we not even know the outcome of our work and our labor? Perhaps the best I can do is to point to it around us. People who persevere sustain the church. Louise Perkins is a 95-year-old woman who is still doing ministry at the congregation I served on the south side of Chicago from her wheelchair. She used to say that she had done everything in the church there was to do except choir. She said that once the choir director invited new people to join the choir by saying, "You know, if you can stand in front of a mirror and breathe and see a mist on the mirror, you can sing." Louise went to the first rehearsal. Afterward, the director told her, "I was wrong." That little church, 75, 85, on a good day, 110, started a homeless shelter program in the south side of Chicago 22 years ago that now involves hundreds of volunteers, 80-some congregations, shelters about 150 people a night through the winter months, has a program for helping people with vocational gain, helping people to get out of homelessness, all because of people who sustain that church. Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. We stopped to visit Dexter Avenue on our way back from a trip this spring. That's the church where Martin Luther King Jr. began his ministry and led the Montgomery bus boycott, which started the civil rights movement. I knew about King. I wanted to know about the church where he served that could allow this to happen. The congregation's story is caught in a book called Fighting the Good Fight. It's a wonderful read. It's fascinating. And quite every day. Freed slaves build a church on the site of a former slave trading market right down the street from the state capitol. Preachers preached. People worshiped. Pastors arranged uplifting and educational programs. Choirs sang. Church women formed committees that discussed homemaking and other uplifting programs. They struggled with money. Pastors came and went. Some of them misbehaved. The church became more educated and middle class. The pastor before King was much more confrontational about race, and they fired him. When King was called, he was a safe choice. When he began, his first official act was to present the church with a 5-page single-spaced manifesto to get them organized. He set up committees. He appointed people by name to lead those committees. He established birthday clubs by month that would make contributions to the church in the anniversary month. All sorts of mundane organizing. Yet somehow, all of this was preparing the way for a leveling of hills and valleys. People in that church persevered for decades, and then something big happened. People who endure do the work of God in the hard places of the world. Paul Farmer, some of you may have read about him in a book I've mentioned called Mountains Beyond Mountains. Farmer has spent over 30 years as a doctor in Haiti, working against immense odds, and much of the time seeing things just get worse. Farmer knows intimately that the situation is desperate. It might never change. But he continues with what he calls the long defeat. I don't care, he says. I am still going to go on trying to do the right thing. Grace shines through when God's people persevere. I hear you Minnesotans are working against the marriage amendment right now. Hang in there. Keep working. Keep working. Help us to be our best. People who persevere have clearly made Holden Village what it is. I am deeply grateful for the constancy and the work of the long-term, year-round staff. I'm trying to catch a few eyes as I look around. These are people who are here through the depth of winter. The days are short, the sunlight is thin, and the snow is thick. They keep this place of grace alive for us during longer, warmer days. Let us now give them thanks and praise. Speaking the prophetic word that shakes the nations and topples the kingdoms, but there is also a time for remembering and celebrating minor prophets whose perseverance wears away the stone, whose nurture and tending grows the kingdom like a summer garden, who mix and knead and allow the yeast of grace to rise in us and in all creation, which waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen.
Gather together as evening falls, let us raise our hearts and our voices to God in prayer. Each petition will end. God of hope and strength, please respond to hear our prayer. Baptismal Spirit, you enter into us at our new birth and offer to all your guiding presence. We pray that you would deepen our faith and grant us the courage to persevere as a people called and claimed, that we may follow the course you have set. God, our hope and strength. Wellspring of life, your love and your desire for justice run deep as the bedrock far beneath the earth. We pray that you would guide the hearts and actions of the miners preparing to descend into the depths of the copper mine so long abandoned. May their steps be sure and their ascent smooth. God, our hope and strength.
Hear our prayer.
Rain bringer, you water the earth in its due season. We pray that this may be one, and that your care would fall like rain upon those fighting forest fires in the area. May they come through this dangerous season safely. God, our hope and strength.
Hear our prayer.
Cloudmaker, into every life the rain falls, and there are silver linings. We pray for loved ones recently lost, the saints no longer with us, those who we name now on our lips and in our hearts. Like the waves upon the shore, may your presence never be far from those who mourn. God, our hope and strength.
Hear our prayer.
Living water. Like water in the desert, your love is surprising. Like the deep, wide ocean, your love is endless. Like rain after drought, you quench our thirst. Help us to endure as your love and faithfulness endure, so that we may be poured out in the hope of your kingdom come. God, our hope and strength. For all these things and the needs you know, we pray. Trusting in Jesus Christ, source and spring and ever-living water. Amen.
Amen.
We end tonight by singing hymn number 536. 536, please stand.